This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show, and I'm looking out our high-tech weather window here at Bull Falls Radio, which you open up the blinds, it tells you whether it's sunny or cloudy. Well, it's sunny out there right now. It really looks good in downtown Wausau. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll take it. We'll take it. In fact, I wanted to get the latest temperature so I'm not, like, lying to you here on the radio. I mean, the worst thing you can do is lie on the radio, like other stations. 32 degrees currently. Here in Wausau. We're above freezing. Yay!
As I was driving over here, the temperature in my car was telling me it was a 28.
Yeah, well.
So it's going up a little bit.
So right now, we should start handing out the cocoa butter and, you know, start working on our tans later this afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? Whoa. Anyway, my name is Bob. Look in for Chad Holmes. Jane Graham Jennings with us, of course, from the Wausau Women's Community. We continue our discussion again. You know, the last half hour, we were talking more about identifying and not just identifying, but admitting.
Yes.
That this is not normal. This is not right. It's not your fault.
Yes.
That's the hardest thing to break, isn't it?
It is. You know, when we really thinking about it, it's this kind of cycle, and victims are really psychologically trapped, trying to figure out how to, again, make sense of it, because it doesn't make any sense. So they're trapped in these situations, in love with someone who's hurting them, trying to figure that out.
Even if they're doing everything they can to, I made your favorite dinner tonight, honey, or I've, you know, right. Would you like me to grab you a beer out of the fridge? Oh, you know, and doing all these things that you're to please your partner and to be a good partner. I mean, not just running around serving your right. partner, but trying to be, but you're not feeling that or not getting that back in return.
Right.
Like it's expected.
And then the rules change every time. Yeah. So even you're doing all the right things, but it's never enough because that's not what the issue is. You know, people have a trying to figure all that out, and understanding what a healthy relationship is. There's tension in all relationships. Mm. You know, we argue with people that we love, and we get angry, and we say things that we wish we wouldn't have said. But the difference is in those situations, when someone apologizes, it's sincere, and they don't plan to do it again or hurt you again. And so, you know, people hold on to that hope. Like, you know, they said they were sorry and they won't do it again. Then the problem is they do it again. Healthy relationships don't hurt. Mm-hmm. When you're in a relationship that's healthy and you have an equal partner who loves you, you don't feel pain from that person. Mm. They make you feel better. So if you're in a relationship and your partner isn't helping you be a better person or make you feel good, if you feel bad from your partner, that's a concerning situation. Love does not hurt.
Yeah. If you regret that you're going to have to deal with that person later in the day.
Right.
Like you're coming from your work and the other person's coming from theirs.
Right.
And you are regretting that you have to spend time with them,
or you're afraid to go home because you're not sure what's going to happen.
Man, don't know what mind thing. I pulled that too when I'd have a tough day at work, and who hasn't?
Yes,
right. Who hasn't? And I would go down into my, you know, the lower level of the house, the man cave, okay,
And I, and you know, my wife knew immediately that, you know, had a bad day. And she knew that it didn't help things by going down there and saying, have a bad day,
right,
when all the signs are there. But I also read that from her, too, where I'd be at home and she'd come in after a tough day and, you know, hey, Ann, how you doing? Fine. You know it's not fine. But
yeah,
the last thing you do is, oh, you don't sound happy. What's he? Because right now they really don't want to talk to it.
Right.
It's like fishing. Okay. I always like to use this example. When you're fishing, you got the line out there, not getting a bite, not getting any response. You know, well, you don't just keep throwing the same bait out there. You try something different to maybe get the point, or, you know, get a communication. And sometimes it's patience.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you let a few minutes, maybe an hour or two, and you just, you know, kind of get back into a vocal range and says, well, how you feeling now?
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, and then here comes all the details of why it was not the, and the best thing to do, nothing worse than, oh, well, I had a bad day too, and then not listen.
Yeah.
Take the time, because someone, you know, their loved one wants to air it out.
Yeah.
Just listen. Listen is, I think, the biggest problem in modern life today. There's more people who want to talk.
Right.
There's less people who want to listen.
You know, the old saying, everybody's talking, but nobody's listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That has never been more relevant than today.
Now, here we are, you know, on a talk radio station telling people to listen. Well, that's what we're trying to do, is to offer you a subject, offer you examples to things that you let it bounce in your head a little bit, and just, you know, I get where they're coming from. Or maybe you don't. Or maybe you've got a different opinion. That's why we have open lines for you to call.
Yeah.
You can text. We'll listen.
I love your description of, you know, that scenario, because that's, you know, demonstrating or modeling, talking about what a healthy relationship is, that you can recognize in your partner they're having a bad day, and so you just let them be. You don't push it, and that's healthy. So, you know, we're all humans and do those things. So healthy relationships, you're not afraid of someone in your house.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're having a bad day, you don't have to worry about walking around on eggshells. When you are in a home where you feel like you have to walk on eggshells because you don't want to upset your partner, that's an unhealthy situation. That's something to be concerned about and check and say, why is it that I'm not free or safe to feel all of my feelings, and to have a bad day and not have it become then a problem?
Yeah. Again, 715-382-9297. That's the phone number here. And again, if you'd like to text us and you'd like to put on the text, you know, anonymous, don't put your name on it, fine. We would be happy to hear from you and take your information and go with that. In fact, I got my cell phone right now ringing. But, of course, they're trying to sell me Medicare C. So I'm at that age, folks, okay? I'm sitting there going, whose phone? This is my phone. I turned down the deal, at least, for you. So, again, hang that up. Make that go away. With the holidays coming up, and I know that the holidays, for me, have changed a lot here in the last few years. I appreciate them, but they're not the same. And it is one of those things where I have good friends who, you know, say, hey, you know, Christmas Eve, what are you doing? Say, oh, nothing, probably just be at home. Oh, well, you know, why don't you come on over? And, you know, and it's like, I appreciate it. I really do. I appreciate the invite. And I say, well, I think I'll be fine, you know, whatever. And it's not that I'm sitting at home and just being miserable, but I have a better feeling of just being by myself and letting the memories of my, you know, life kind of augment feeling good about it, because even if I go to that group with people and if they're having some fun, telling jokes, and no matter what the situation, I'm not going to be participatory.
Yeah.
Even though I'd like to, but it ain't happening, and I'm not about to let other people have to kind of pull me along like a disabled car, like a tow truck. Hey, let's help them along. So be by myself. Not that I feel like anything's wrong is going to happen, but I find that to be more enjoyable with me in my mind than to have people, go overboard trying to make me feel better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's it. You get to choose those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, again, it's that pretense that our culture puts up that you have to be engaged in all of these activities around the holidays. You have to be having a jolly old time.
Oh, yeah. Singing carols.
Right.
There's a time for it. Yeah, I'm into it. I'd be happy to, but there are times where sometimes the best thing for me is silence.
Yes. Yes.
And just listening to my own head.
Right. And, getting outside of that cultural norm of what we're expected to do or what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. Around everything, but the holidays in particular, what we should be doing. So I always think, think about why something is a should. Don't do that. Don't should on yourself.
Yeah. Just be, do what you want to do and be comfortable with it. I always do this joke with sports, and there's a baseball game or whatever. They have those pre-canned, things to get people. People, pitch your hand clap, right?
Yeah.
And I'm the one guy in the stands. They went, get your hand clap. Everyone's clapping. I'm sitting there like, no, I'm not. You could tell me to clap my hands. I couldn't do it. Stand up and do the wave. Everyone's going to do the wave. Everyone around me stands up to do the wave, and I just sit there like, Am I just being an old crudgy guy or –
I don't know.
No one's going to participate all the time.
Well, yeah, I'm one of these kind of people that, it's nice to, have some stuff. But there are times when it's being forced.
Yeah. Sometimes you just don't feel like
pressure,
it.
Let's let it just be very natural, like it belongs there. So
yeah.
I'm just showing my age, aren't I? Anyway, we've got one more segment with Jane coming up. Stick around. Hey, by the way, if you do want to participate, 715-382-9297. I'd like to hear from you or text from you. Here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I believe that Ian just plays this music bumper because he likes to dance.
Yes, I do.
He was playing it yesterday and he was starting to line dance. He says, settle down, will you? Just get back to your music controls. It's the Chad Holmes Show, and I'm Bob Look, sitting in for the vacationing Chad Holmes. Coming up a little after 9:30 this morning, we'll be talking to science fiction novelist Sue Burke, talking about some of her latest work and kind of find out, how do you become a science fiction author? It takes a lot of imagination and a lot of brain, I think, to do that stuff. And knowing her, as I've done, because we went through high school together, she was one of those smart ones in the class. And our journalism class together in high school was her and I, in fact, we'll probably be talking with great reverence to Mrs. Muldoon, who was our teacher, because she really was incredible. It's amazing how you look back in the years And you think of those
special people.
Those people you were impressed by that. They opened doors and opened my mind a lot of ways. Anyway, Jane Graham Jennings, just to remind you, is still with us for the next few minutes. She's, of course, part of the group that helps you at the Wausau Women's Community. Your efforts in that isn't something that you can just do without having some backup financial help in that.
Right.
And you're always, looking for if people would like to contribute in some way. Maybe there might be some folks who might want to volunteer.
Yes.
Give us some of the things that you wouldn't mind have people consider.
Sure. Well, we are a 24-hour operation.
Yeah.
So we have
like a radio station.
Human beings answering our phone line 24 hours a day. So anytime someone has a question or a concern, they can call. And that takes resources. So a lot of our funding, we are heavily reliant on federal and state government funding, which comes with all kinds of strings. So for us, community is what's most important. When people support our work and believe in that people deserve to have safety and security, donations for our work is what's critically important and sustains us. We are nothing without the community. So we rely heavily on our community members to really understand and believe and value the efforts that we have to try to save people's lives. And that's what community is. So there are numerous ways that people can support us. If you go to our website, www.womenscommunity.org, if you're interested in volunteering, we also have numerous volunteer opportunities, and you can get all of that information at our website. Depending on how intensive you want to volunteer, we have trained volunteers who respond to the emergency department when sexual assault victims are having a forensic rape kit collected. We train them as if they are an advocate. So there's that really intensive kind of training, or we have front reception volunteers. We have our pantry volunteers. So there's an array of ways that people can support our efforts and help us keep our organization operating.
Yeah. And again, the name of it is Wausau Women's Community, but it's just not women,
correct.
That are in that situation of being abused mentally or physically.
Yes.
It can be the other way around, right?
In 1978, it was a very different time,
right.
And that's when the agency was created, and it was specifically for women.
Right.
And now, over 40 years later, we understand abuse and violence in a much greater context. So we recognize that anyone can be a victim of abuse, and we serve anyone who has been a victim, men, women, children, anyone. So it doesn't matter. Gender is not a factor.
And that also should be, we got people listening to us right now. We've got females, we have males, and I'm sure that the peer pressure or the outside telling the men, quote, men, that, what's your problem? We can't stand up for yourself, blah, 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 blah. That macho this, macho that. And it's like, come on. There's reality out there, folks, and there's no crime or there's no shame in stepping forward to get some help.
That's part of, our culture is still very gendered, and the only emotion that we allow men to have is anger. So that's a contributing factor, that when we don't allow men to be fully human and experience all of the emotions that exist in humanity, we're doing a real disservice. And we have this idea that men don't need help. It's changing slowly, but men do need help. And so we also need to remove that stigma of saying, I'm a male, but I've been hurt, and I need help working through that.
And it's also probably important on your end that the voice or the one-on-one communication coming from your organization to, say, a male looking for some, would have to be probably another male.
It really varies.
It varies?
Yeah, it does. Some of the men we serve are again, because of kind of the macho feeling, mm-hmm. they're more comfortable talking to a female because they don't feel that same level of shame.
Oh, yeah, that peer pressure.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. some men want to talk to another man. We have male advocates, but some would rather talk to a woman. And again, what we find is the gender becomes less of an issue when people feel heard. So as you were talking before about listening, that's the main thing that advocates do is people come in, we need to listen. They need to feel heard. So regardless of who, what gender is sitting across from you, if you feel like they are listening to you and hearing you, that's where the healing begins.
That 24-hour line that you have is 715-842-7323.
Yes.
So that might be something it would be pretty smart on your part to maybe just jot down at home. And if you, you know, contact us at the station here, we will get back in touch. Well, you got to get back to your being a big-time DC Everest football fan this
That's
weekend.
That's right. Go Everest.
Yeah, going up against, was Bayport?
Yes.
Yeah. Great year, wasn't it?
It sure was. Yeah. My nephew is a football player,
That's right. I know. Yeah, this is a fun time, and we wish, of course, the Evergreens all the best in their competition. And, of course, you too and all the gang over at the women's community.
Thank you.
Keep doing the work you're doing, and I hope that the community steps up for the community.
Thank you so much.
All right. Stand by. We've got Sue Burke, author for some science fiction thrillers. We'll have a chat with her coming up as we continue with the Chad Holmes Show on Full Vols Radio, 98.9 FM and 1230 AM.
Competition. You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
We continue now on the Chad Holmes Show on WXCO 98.9 FM and 1230 AM here in Wausau, Wisconsin. And my name is Bob Look, sitting in for Chad, who's doing a little vacation time this week. We've got coming up a friend of mine who has gone down the road of making writing her life. In fact, going from being part of newspaper staff members to teaching English in Spain. And well, I'll tell you what, she's really proud of her because she has gotten into the world of science fiction novel writing and is doing a heck of a job doing it. And I want to introduce you all to my friend from way back when, Sue Burke. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Bob.
Gosh.
It's a pleasure to be there.
Yeah.
And to be in Wausau, because I have family in Wausau.
I understand. Who do you have as family members here?
Well, my brother is there right now, but I've had other family members who live there and some friends.
Oh, great, great. Well, you look good. We got you on the streamer here, so folks who are watching us that way are, you know, getting a chance to see you. Let's just talk a little bit about how did you get to this point? We're now started doing novels on science fiction, kind of. First of all, how did you get down this road?
Well, I started working in newspapers.
Yeah.
And newspapers were a lot of fun. And honestly, if I could still be working in newspapers, I would be doing that.
Yeah.
But the news business is having some rough times. So I found myself unemployed, and I've always loved science fiction. And so I thought, well, now I have some free time, whether I want it or not. And so I may as well start doing something that I've kind of always wanted to do. So I started writing fiction. This would have been, let's see, in the 1990s.
Whoa.
And then things just kept going from there.
Oh, well,
and it's been great fun. Well, writing anything, I think, is just delightful. So I love newspapers. I love what I'm doing now. I have my dream job.
Yeah, well, you're being creative, too. which is something doing newspaper, you basically just the facts, ma'am, type of a dragnet way to looking at it.
Yeah, now I can make up all sorts of amazing things.
Now, well, let's talk about the one that jumped out for you, semiosis, and this was. Give us a background on how the idea, and also kind of like, you know, a basic run through of where this plot goes.
Okay, so how I got the idea. I've always had a lot of houseplants. If you're watching on your radio screen, you can see one behind me. And one day I noticed that one of my plants had killed another plant. And I felt sad. I should have supervised them better. And then a month later, another plant attacked another plant, and I thought, well, this might be something significant. So this was before the internet, so I went to the public library and began to do some research. Librarians were very helpful, and I discovered that plants are horrible. Plants are murderous. Plants are aggressive.
They're vicious.
They're vicious. They have all sorts of weapons. They're unpredictable, and so if you're writing science fiction, now you have really an interesting situation. The one thing, plants are slow. We can outrun them. And that's why we don't notice how aggressive they are. But they are. So I was thinking, so how can I turn this into a science fiction idea? Well, what if plants could think? Now, there's a lot of debate in the botany world right now. What do you mean by think? It's possible they can think. They don't think the way that we do, though. But what if they could? What if they could plan ahead? What if they could think about the future and about the animals around them? Because plants use animals for a lot of different things. We think of them as pollinating, right, but they do other things. Plants actually communicate with us, and you don't have to think hard. So you've got tomato plants.
Yeah.
Tomatoes want us to eat their fruit. Tomatoes are technically a fruit because their seeds can pass right through us. They come out, they're in a nice place, they have fertilizer, and that's how tomato plants can take over the world, because every plant wants to take over the world, at least every niche that they can. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they produce fruit that we're going to want to eat, and when it's ready, and the seeds are great, it turns color. So we know, it has told us, it's time to eat that fruit, which we obediently do. I eat tomatoes all the time. Everyone does. So, okay. They use animals, and then they use animals in very cruel ways. There's carnivorous plants. So what plants can figure all of this out? Okay, so I write science fiction. How can I dramatize this idea? Because, you know, there's different ways to approach writing. Some people start with characters. Some people start with a setting. I tend to start with ideas. So how can I dramatize this idea? I thought about it. I could not make plants on Earth behave significantly differently. So I'll put them on another planet. Great. So then these humans come, let's pretend, and they land on this planet. And the plants there are intelligent. But then I had, in my research, I discovered one more thing that made this whole thing work. And it's this. Now, I already knew, because I have houseplants, that plants need iron. Iron is part of the chlorophyll. And they have to have that in order to make food. So they need iron. But it's possible when you form a planet for all of the iron to go down into the core. That's not the case here. Iron is very common here, but it can go down to the core. So you've got plants, another planet. There's not a lot of iron, but there's a lot of iron in me, and I'm a human being.
And?
So they're smart, and they can think about this. So they want, they're going to hunt us down.
Yeah.
But is the best thing when you're trying to talk, to invent a story, because you just get more and more problems. Okay, but. So we've got I imagined the apex predator plant on that planet. And there's been a war. There's only one of them left. But here's something else that we know from botany on our planet, is that many plants are social species. Trees grow better when other trees are around them, and they do communicate in different ways and help each other out. Okay, so you've got a plant. It's the apex predator. It's a big honking plant, but it's all alone, and it's so lonely. It has no other really intelligent beings like it to communicate with.
Yeah.
So it's so lonely, and it needs someone. So these humans show up, and these humans are really tasty, but these humans are the only friends it's got. So now it's got a real problem. And so do the humans, because this aggressive plant wants to be their best friend, and it doesn't want to eat them.
But?
And so then I had a novel. And if this is for you on your radio screen. Yeah. You have a novel, and this is actually a carnivorous plant. It's pretty common. It grows around where Wausau and where we are. And so, yes. So I've got hungry, intelligent plants that like us.
Yeah.
And they will work with us, but for a price.
For a price.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, see, my producer Ian
something
here.
I'd like to read.
Yeah, the book is Semiosis, spelled Semiosis. And that is
Semiosis means communication in the most basic sense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because these plants and these humans are going to communicate.
So that now, so you had that. You had the first book, but it dwarfed into a trilogy, right?
Right. Well, so the humans come back from Earth to see what's going on in this planet, and then they cause all sorts of problems and mess things up. But here's and that's a whole story, and it was a lot of fun to tell how the Earthlings and the people on this planet, they're all human beings, but how they try to sort things out and make trouble for each other.
And the plot just keeps thickening, right?
And exciting things happen. I don't want to give any spoilers,
we don't need
but
to.
I had great fun with what plants can do if they can get into your computer system and mess with your computer system and then start to run machines.
Oh my gosh, that would...
See, yeah.
That'd be intense.
One more thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I interrupted.
Oh, there's more?
Oh, yeah. So there's a third book. So what happens? Now, we know plants are aggressive. They want to get their seeds as spread as far as they can. And this is true on our planet. Now, the plants know there's another planet where they can grow. So, of course, they figure out how to send their seeds there. They have to engineer this. It's not really easy. And they don't want the humans on Earth to know that they're coming. That you know. So they get their seeds on Earth. So there they are on Earth. And they're doing really well because this particular plant has really tasty fruits. So farmers are growing it all over the place. And farmers don't know that they have whole scheming little things in their fields. And so then things happen, and then the plants try to take over Earth, and that's all I'll say.
Okay. There you go. Wow. That's the base. I mean, that's...
I'm definitely going to put this on my reading list.
I'll tell you what. And again, you know, it's easy enough to find your materials in that, in any bookstore and that, and also online, right?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's in the Wausau Public Library.
Yeah, yeah. Because you wrote that one in the initial that was in 2018, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's been out there a while, but the story continues. But this all just came from something that you know that you're between your ears just kind of like took a definite and just went beyond front of your nose. You thought beyond that point.
Well, and that's pretty much the case, I think, with any novel that anyone has ever written, is that they learn something or they know something, and then they try to make that idea dramatic.
Take it to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm. I know a friend of mine who's also a writer, and she is a psychologist by trade. And she sees a lot of mother-daughter interactions. And she found a way to make that really intense. And that's her novel.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like some interesting reading. And I know I got my copy of Simeosis, and I was just reading it, and I'm like, unfortunately, probably because I know you from, you know, back in our growing up days, the first thing that when I was halfway through the book, I was going, wow, her mind really opened up into something that myself, I would go, you took me for a ride with what you put down on paper there. It grabbed me. And I'm like,
I'm glad,
you know, and I'm saying, yeah. Wow, this is impressive stuff.
Well, I tried to make it as dramatic as I could.
Well, that's what good storytelling is, isn't it?
That's my job.
That's a job. You got it.
That's
right.
My job is to make stuff up. That's exciting.
Yeah. Well, see, I did that all through high school, and look what it got me. I'm in radio. So.
And you seem happy.
Well, I am happy, and I'm happy that you're doing well. And again, you know, you said you started writing newspaper. Did you work for the South Milwaukee Voice Journal?
I wrote a few articles for it. I was not the editor for it. The editor for that was in the office next to mine.
Right, right. But that was back in the hometown area, and you started at that point, I was talking to a friend yesterday saying, you know, that you're going to be on. He says, well, how long have you known her? And I says, well, through our high school days. And I says, I'm going to throw out a name there that's going to make Sue very happy. And I'm going to talk about Mrs. Muldoon.
Oh, my Spanish teacher.
Yes. And also, she was also.
No. She was the journalism teacher.
Journalism,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, Connie Uren, wasn't she the...
Uren, she was the Spanish teacher.
Right. But you and I took a journalism class with Mrs. Muldoon back in high school there. And that's what got me more interested in radio. And my first job in radio was as a news director. Listen, we got to take a little short break, and we'll be right back with our final segment here with Sue Burke here on... Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, here in the final segment of our get-together this morning, I should say. Sue Burke, our guest here, the author of Simeosis, also other works in that. You've really found a calling and also a niche with the science fiction community, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, and it's great fun.
Isn't it?
And I was just this last weekend at a science fiction convention here in Chicago.
Yeah. And then, and again, I mentioned this on the air yesterday when we were talking about, you know, having you on. It says, if you really want a group of people who really nitpick, get people who are involved with science fiction. They'll boil it down to the smallest minute detail, don't they?
Oh, they'll say, that's not the valence of a hydrogen atom.
That's what I think is so cool, is that
I actually know the valence of a hydrogen atom. So,
see?
Hey.
Look at this. They hold you to account, don't they?
Yes.
What can we expect down the road? Are you working on something, you know, attached or different?
I just published those. I'm trying to sell another book to a publisher.
Okay.
And it's basically, space is really, really big. At the convention this weekend, there were some astronomers, and they were explaining just how vast the universe is. And if we're going to travel from planet to planet, it's just going to take a long, long time. And so it's taking this idea seriously. Of if you're going to go to another planet and you're going to establish civilization, it's going to take forever, and that place is going to be very isolated. But how do we keep humanity knit all across the galaxy if we've managed to settle it, but everybody is so far apart. And that's the basic idea. As I say, I start with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And my idea is the galaxy is just too big.
And also with the technology that we have currently for transportation, that time is beyond our lifetimes, and it's generational.
Oh yeah, even if I ramp it up, it's going to take just centuries to get anywhere.
Right. Yeah. So that's another little fly in the ointment for those people with the science fiction gene. You know, thinking, well, they take Star Trek. Oh yeah, warp factor 5. Like. Oh, yeah, just like that. We haven't gotten anywhere close to that yet, have we?
Nope, I don't think we've even gotten to Warp Factor 1 yet.
We haven't even. It's a nice, you know, thing to say, but we're not even, we can't even see it in our own eyes anymore. but I'm really happy that we could get together with, you know, do you have a website or that people could visit and maybe get more details and also order some of your work?
Well, you can order my book from any bookstore in, anywhere.
Yeah.
Whether it's Amazon or your local store, it's
all there. Yankee Bookstore here in Wausau. They've been in business for a long time. I'm sure they can help us out.
Oh, they can.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a website, and it's just SueBurke.site. SueBurke.site.
Okay, so it's SueBurke.site. Okay.
Right.
So if they can get all the info and that, and also get people the at least open the door to check out your work, and who knows, maybe you might be getting a whole new audience your way, and maybe dreaming through your imagination also.
Okay. So, and maybe I'll make them afraid of their gardens.
Yes. I'm thinking of all those people I know that work so hard, you know, putting together their tomato plants and that stuff are probably looking at their plants a lot differently now after hearing this little chat.
Don't you be getting any ideas, plant.
They'd be threatening each other. My gosh. Didn't they used to talk about people talking to plants that it helps them grow better? Isn't that?
I haven't heard that, actually.
That doesn't quite work, but they do know we exist.
Okay. So I appreciate you taking the time and chatting with us here this morning, and wish you all the luck in the world. And hopefully, you know, maybe we'll actually bump into each other rather than high school reunions. You know?
All right.
So,
I get up to Wausau from time to time. Well, all right.
You do that by all means. You got my number, and then give a holler, and it'd be nice to see you again. And much luck, and I wish you all the best, and take care of yourself, okay?
Well, thank you, and have a good day.
All right.
Come on the show, Sue.
Yeah. Sue Burke with a very enjoyable chat for me, and I hope that you enjoyed it too with her work, Simiosis, and her science fiction writing. Very impressed, and I'm, you know, happy that she was able to take some time with us, and again, check out the book. Really, I'm telling you, if you are a science fiction nut, I'm science fiction to a point, okay, Ian,
to a point.
Yeah. Sometimes science fiction things, when I either read them or that, I kind of look, you know, I do the old, you know, dog look, you know, like tilt the head, like, huh. But as I said before, when I was, you know, reading Sue's work, and I was like, man, this is high quality stuff. Mm-hmm. And and to show you my broadcasting type of, I was saying, okay, how are we going to make this into a movie? Are you going to take this? Because the story is viable, but imagining it on the screen
is a whole...
Another whole new thing, you know. But I think
I took a science fiction class in high school, and I got to read the Time Machine. And
yeah.
First, we read the book, and then we watched the movie as well. It was interesting to see
the comparisons. And you see the different little changes and little things to make it a little more palatable. Anyway, Hope you enjoyed our chat with Sue, and we invite you to tune in again tomorrow.
Tuesday, everybody. Yeah, have a great day.
I kind of.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.